You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We're waiting to hear from Brian Busby from Channel 9. He's going to be calling in here in just a moment. I just looked at the updated forecast, and it's already raining in Lawrence. Pretty heavy rain coming down in Leavenworth right now. But it is going to the northeast. So we're going to start getting rain here roughly around 4 o'clock, give or take.
It's coming in hot.
Topeka, Lawrence, and then towards St. Joe
kind of a track. It's moving up more north towards St. Joe.
Topeka.
Thank God. It definitely is in Topeka.
Oh, angry colors. Angry. Manhattan. Look at you.
Yep.
Good thing they don't have any hotels there.
But it is moving to the north and northeast. Thank God.
Well, but Buzzy will go over this. This is just round one right now, correct?
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
You go
further west. Salina, Hutchinson, Great Bend. There's a bunch coming in. This is the stuff that dumped a bunch of snow in the Rocky Mountains last night.
Mm-hmm. Fresh powder?
Yeah.
Whoa, simmer down in there, Dan.
Get your toboggan. Nerd.
I'm going to wax my skis.
Okay.
Did you see there was snow on the top of Mauna Kea?
I did not see that.
On the Big Island of Hawaii?
Really?
Yes. They get snow up there every so often.
I did not know that.
Was it 13-something thousand feet above sea level? So, yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody is reporting up in Mound City, Missouri, semis blown over on the interstate and several buildings with their roofs blown off.
Okay. We talked about this yesterday. Roofs?
Roofs.
We talked about this yesterday with respect to high-profile vehicles and the crazy wind gusts.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with that horrible story with the kiddo injured in Pleasant Hill yesterday when the tree fell. Yeah. I feel like today's another one of those days that if you are driving certainly an empty semi, like a shell in your trailer.
Oh, those things are wind sails.
Today is not the day to be driving that thing.
Well, there are standards. Didn't we read yesterday, or you read yesterday, Dana, if I'm not mistaken? Anything over 40? And you're advised to pull over?
Extreme caution.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And then there's a certain mile per hour wind where you have to get off the road.
That's probably 50 or 60. What I was reading from yesterday was a law firm, not the actual CDL regulations.
Okay. While we wait for Brian Busby, we'll get him in just a moment. They survey everything. America's favorite sandwiches.
Okay. Is the muffalata on there?
Bread. The what?
The muffalata, and what is that?
Tasty.
I'm afraid to ask.
Olives?
Yeah, that sounds...
No, the muffalata? Yeah.
Oh, muffalata.
When you say it like that, it sounds less
inappropriate. Is like peanut butter and jelly on there, or are you asking for like schlotzkies?
Peanut butter and jelly? No. Like
ham and cheese, turkey and cheese.
Okay. Rice. Peanut butter and jelly's got to be number one.
Nope. No, not even close. Oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's seventh.
It has been years since I've had a good PB&J, but man, it's good. It's so good.
Muffaletta.
Thank you. Muffaletta.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go ham and cheese. It's got to be toward the top.
Ham and cheese is number four.
Okay.
Turkey and cheese.
Turkey and cheese is number three.
Ooh. A taco.
A taco is not a sandwich, Daniel.
Or is a hot dog?
You can say hot dog. Don't you start.
I know. Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese is number one.
Booyah!
Reuben.
No.
Ugh.
Cuban.
No.
A club.
No.
Oh.
Turkey
oh,
and
oh
Swiss.
Wait, BLT, baby. BLT for the win.
Which is my favorite sandwich, does not make the top eight.
You know why?
Heretics.
People weren't really thinking. They weren't really deeply thinking about the toasted sandwich. Yes, because I like mine toasted.
I made a BLT at home yesterday and brought it to work.
The Monte Cristo.
Okay, I'm just going to take us out of our torture here.
The what?
Grilled cheese is number one. Chicken sandwich is number two.
Oh.
Turkey sandwich, number three. Ham sandwich, number four.
Wait, so chicken beat turkey and ham? Who did they ask?
Tuna sandwich is number five.
Ooh, I'm very specific about the tuna sandwich.
Egg, have the right mix
egg,
of mayo.
Egg sandwich is number six.
Oh, the old egg salad.
Two things you shouldn't take on a plane, tuna and egg salad.
PB&J is number 7, and number 8, the meatball sandwich.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
There is no way egg salad and even chicken salad beat peanut butter and jelly. No way.
Well, they surveyed adults.
Mature adults?
All right.
The only adult that I know that brings a PB&J to work is Sam.
It's so good.
When was the last time you had a PB&J?
Oh, it has been years. But Sam, I'm telling you.
Then how can it be in your top 8?
Because it's so good. You just forget how good it is. Now, yeah. I'll tell you, grilled cheese is my favorite. If my mom is making it, there's nothing better in the whole wide world.
Nope.
Okay.
Do you put mayonnaise on your grilled cheese?
No. Oh. I mean, I wouldn't say no to that, but I don't.
It's a good touch.
Hmm. Gross.
Do you put peanut butter on both pieces of bread or just one?
I do one, peanut butter on one side, jelly on the other side, and I smash them together. Mm. And then I cut them into triangles. Very important.
Gross.
I do a heaping scoop of peanut butter on both pieces of bread and a little bit of jelly in the middle.
Sam, we know. We smell your breath after you eat when at work.
I love PB&J. Come on now.
He uses some potent smelling peanut butter. I'm telling you right now.
Potent enough that I have to ask my coworkers if they're allergic.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Before he eats one in the newsroom, he'll say, anybody here allergic to peanuts?
That's so nice you ask that, Sam.
He's thoughtful.
Very thoughtful.
PTSD from grade school, but yeah.
Mm. By the way, 32% of Americans will cut their sandwich into a rectangle. 35% will cut them into triangles.
Mm-hmm.
33% eat them uncut.
Oh, weirdos.
See, I diagonal slice a sandwich with meat on it.
You have to...
I don't slice a PB&J.
No.
It's all messy.
I don't ever slice a sandwich like a chicken sandwich or a PB&J. It's just extra time.
I slice a BLT.
I mean, okay, I can see that, but nah, no slicing.
Is a burger a sandwich?
No, it's not listed as one.
No, because it's not listed as one. I will tell you this.
It's between two pieces of bread.
I cannot remember the last time I went to a restaurant and ordered a sandwich. I don't even peruse that side of the menu.
Really?
If it says between a bun, if I'm going to a restaurant, I am not getting something that I could throw together at home.
Like a chicken salad sandwich or something?
No, I can make that at home. No, if I'm going to a restaurant, I want something like...
Sometimes it depends on the type of restaurant you're going to. I think if you're going to like a deli style, they're going to make much better chicken salad than you could at home.
Ooh, or
pizza
oven
baked Italian hero at Martin City Brewery.
Is so good.
Mm.
I love that
Chef's
place.
Kiss.
I love that place. The key with the chicken salad, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's the dill. I put dill in my chicken salad. You got to have dill.
Yeah.
It's the real dill.
Yeah, that's right.
Put celery in your chicken salad?
Yes.
Of course you do.
And, wait for it, toasted pine nuts.
Oh, grapes or no grapes?
Oh, grapes
fancy.
For sure.
No grapes.
You have to put grapes in. Red ones.
Red, of course, red. You wouldn't put green in there.
Duh.
Wow.
And walnuts.
Fancy.
I just don't eat chicken salad.
See, now, if it's a chicken salad, I'm putting in cashews.
Ooh.
Ew, that's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't kick that out of bed. Yeah. All right.
You give that a day in court?
Mm-hmm.
We're standing by for Brian Busby.
Apparently.
From Channel 9.
No, the number one question is, crust or no crust?
Crust.
Always crust. Nobody mentioned the peanut butter, banana, and honey.
I don't mind.
Because nobody eats
There's
that.
A reason
I don't
that wasn't
mind
mentioned.
It, but it would not be my go-to, Sam.
Gross.
Because I'm not 7.
Wow.
Wow.
Standing by for Brian Busby. Get an update on the weather that is moving into the Kansas City Metro in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. All right, storm's getting ready to roll through town here in just a minute. Let's go to Channel 9 Chief Meteorologist and Jerk Air Board Member Brian Busby on the KMBZ Hotline. Brian, good afternoon.
Hello, my friend.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing quite well. I see that the storms are just now starting to roll through the western part of the metro and northern part.
This is true, and they still have a little bit of a punch. There is talk that they're probably going to put some of the area under a tornado watch probably in the next hour or two. So this is the line. We had a few stragglers that moved through this morning. Those didn't cause much in the way of damage, just to some folks by surprise. It's the secondary line because it's been windy without the thunderstorms.
Yeah.
They'll probably make the winds go up to 60 and 70 miles an hour. There was one report, was it near Sebeka, or I'm sorry, up in the northeastern portion of Kansas that had winds of over 70 or 80 miles an hour, meteorologist Katie Horner put on her Facebook page.
Oh.
That was earlier today.
You're thinking of Seneca.
Seneca, that's what it was. Thank you.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm looking at the radar, and I go farther to the west, and granted, these are all moving in sort of a north-northwesterly direction, but there is a lot of rain all over the state of Kansas.
Correct. And the trouble is, the more sunshine that pops out, the more unstable it'll be. So as we break out in the sunshine, the instability will be meeting up with the front. And so although we don't have anything over the metro yet, and although there's no watch yet for the metro, that'll probably be changing. What I'm hoping is just a gentle rain afterward, after the first line moves through, and then we can get back to the beneficial rain that we so desperately need.
We talked about this earlier, Brian, that the airwaves belong to everyone. And, you know, you may not live in Seneca or have ever heard of Seneca, but if there is severe weather tonight, you guys do not happen to be airing the World Series. I know that you would not wish to be in that position if you were, because you have been in that position. And people are already griping about it. Like, why can't they just run a crawl? I'm going to let you address that.
Sure. First of all, the guy who's in the hot seat for that is my college roommate, Joe Loria, on Fox 4. And I'm sure he's not looking forward to making that decision. I mean, the thing is, if you're in the heat of battle, and if you're in a path of one of these thunderstorms, and if your power goes out or the lights are flickering, a crawl is just not going to suffice. I mean, if repetitive. We don't have time to update that information. So whatever info the Weather Service sends when they first issue the warning is what's going to be regurgitated over and over and over again. And people think that we are saying the same thing over and over and over again, and we're not. In other words, the storm is moving at 35 miles an hour, so as time passes on, we talk about different cities that are in the path. But again, if it's not your county, you're thinking, I know there's a tornado warning out for Johnson County. I don't care because I live in Jackson. That's the problem. It is still moving, so we have to do it. And if we do it for another community where it doesn't affect you, you want us on when it does.
Bingo.
And Brian, Bender just put out a diagram with a high, medium, and low risk for a tornado. As close as Leavenworth and Lawrence, we're seeing a high risk. How likely is it that we're going to see something spin up?
There's a possibility, especially with all the instability we have. I mean, as we said, it's been very gusty, even without a thunderstorm overhead. And the other thing I want to address is Kansas City gets two distinct severe weather seasons. We get it, and I said this on TV, as winter is retreating and spring is making its comeback, that'll be March, April, May. And then as fall is overhead and winter wants to come back down, we get it again in October, November. So it is not unheard of to have violent weather close to Thanksgiving. I'd say with all the ingredients coming together, we will have the possibility of tornadoes. Now, these won't be the long-tracking ones, like, say, ones that's on the ground for 45 minutes. It may be one of those spin-ups that's only on the ground for a few seconds, not seconds, but a couple minutes and then go right back up. But if it's coming through your backyard, with all due respect to Mr. Parks, making a little more damage.
Oh, I'm familiar with the tornado that goes right through your backyard.
Right. Yeah, and it did minimal damage, but it still makes your heart skip a beat. So that's probably what we're going to see. They're called QLCs because they're right along the line. The quasi-linear convective systems. I know, that's not a buzzword, so don't make me say that again. But they're just spin-ups along the line that can form, but they don't last very long. But they can still cause some damage with winds of 80 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour. And certainly with all the stuff that's out there, trampolines, patio furniture.
Plastic owls.
Inflatables. Plastic owls, exactly.
All right.
That's what's going to cause some issues.
Brian,
I'm hoping it's nothing too serious. I'm hoping it's nothing too serious.
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate your empathy. Thank you very much for remembering, as I always do. What is the major threat tonight? Is it rain? Is it wind? Is it hail?
It's going to be wind more than anything else. Hail to a lesser degree. I really don't see, like, quarter-size hail maybe at the max. I don't really see half-dollar or baseball-size hail with this. And then it gets to torrential rain, but the ground is so dry, it's just going to soak it in so quick. I don't think flooding is going to be a big concern. However, that being said, heading into the weekend, there are going to be several opportunities Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday, and possibly even on Election Day, Tuesday, where I could see several rounds of rain. Some of the models I'm looking at have pushed out anywhere from 2 to 5 inches of rainfall, much needed rain. That'll be more the issue then.
Oh, wow.
When you talk about the wind, I thought I saw a report today of 60 mile per hour gusts or higher.
Wouldn't doubt it. Would not doubt it. Because the bargain basement, severe weather, thunderstorm has to have winds of 58 miles an hour or higher. So 60 isn't that high over the threshold. Some of them even could crank out 70, since we've been having gusts of 30 and 40, even without a thunderstorm overhead. There's just enough ingredients. And the analogy I use for that is, if you're trying to make chili, but you add some more Tabasco sauce, it's going to be hot. So now that there are more ingredients coming together and there's more of it, it's going to be more of a hot recipe for thunderstorms.
The hashtag Busby for President 2028 is now trending.
Only if you're my VP.
No. If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
All right, then I guess we go to Dana and Sam.
Okay, man. Hey, always appreciate your time. Thank you,
Be
Brian.
Be well, and we'll catch you tonight.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's Channel 9 Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby joining us. Just got a text from T. It is pouring down rain in Leavenworth. From the text line, pouring in Piper, which is in western Wyandotte County, of course.
The storm front is moving in.
Yeah, it is.
Batten down your owls.
Okay.
You guys mock me.
Did it really fall down last night, or did you knock it over?
No, I did not. No, I went out back because I'm growing grass in the backyard on a small patch where it died, and I went outside to see if the rain was landing on the area where I was patching grass. And I noticed that Charlie was laying on the deck, and I felt I felt bad for him.
You named him Charlie?
His name is Charlie. That's right.
It was so windy.
Oh.
Last night and today, that my chimeless chime chimed.
We've got a chime.
We've got a chime, people, and that should really be the actual barometer in Kansas City how bad the wind is. When Dana's chime
that don't chime
chimes, we got problems.
You might want to take them down tonight.
Ding, ding. Oh, those chimes will not be destroyed. Tornadic winds could come through there and the chime would not be destroyed.
How is it hanging?
Ding.
Oh.
The thing never chimes.
So it would have 150 mile per hour wind and all you would hear is...
Yep.
Ding.
Pretty much.
Run for cover! It chimes!
The chime is chiming!
It dinged!
For God's sakes, take cover!
That is the quietest warning signal I've ever heard.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So you know this weekend is fall back. Sunday morning at 2 a.m. So obviously everybody's going to do it before they go to bed on Saturday night. But I just read a meme on Facebook. We'll be turning clocks back soon. An extra hour of 2024 is like a bonus track on a Yoko Ono album.
Ouch.
Sam, what are we hearing from Adam Schefter?
So we had discussed, I think, in the last week or so about the potential, the push from the mayor of our fine town here, Kansas City, Missouri.
And Kathy Nelson with the Sports Commission.
Trying to get an WNBA, I almost said NWSL, we already have one of those, a WNBA expansion team to Kansas City. Of course, we talked about where would they play, all these different things. Well, it is now in the news from Adam Schefter that the KC Current ownership, including Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes, are meeting with officials in the WNBA pushing for that very thing.
This is the
exact tweet. So now we're going to get a WNBA team.
This is the exact tweet. As WNBA expansion continues, ownership of the NWSL's KC Current, which includes Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany, have met with the WNBA and are in contention to bring the league's next franchise to Kansas City. Mahomes also co-owns the KC Royals and Sporting KC. Okay, wait. In contention to bring the league's next franchise. So explain how this works. Do one or two cities get to throw their name in the hat and then they pick, or can any city who wants it?
Well, with other leagues, any city can throw their name into contention. But there are things that you have to have lined up. Investors.
Yeah, most importantly, an ownership group.
Yeah, you have to have an ownership group that can afford the price of an expansion team.
Next would be a venue.
Infrastructure was going to be the word that came out of my mouth. You have to have a place for them to play, or a legitimate prospect of building a place for the team to play. For example, I don't know if St. Louis, the MLS team, has their own stadium yet, But when they were granted an expansion franchise 3-4 years ago, they had to have a plan. MLS now requires that if you are granted an MLS franchise, you have to build your own stadium. You can't play in an NFL stadium. You can't play in a Major League Baseball stadium. You have to build your own soccer stadium.
It is City Park, and it is already open.
Okay, that's what I thought. And so with the WNBA, number one is the money. You got to have the money lined up. I don't think that's a problem with Patrick Mahomes. And he could easily be a minority owner and get a group of investors to join in. Infrastructure, not a problem at all.
Now, proving market viability, that's going to be a hurdle.
Well, that's a good point, Sam. There's something else you have to be able to prove or point out, is that there's enough, you know, expendable income in the city
to sprinkle it around through soccer, through Chiefs, Royals, but I think it's a different audience. I think we have enough people interested in enough different things in our town to support it. I really do.
Now, the argument could be made, and they would certainly make it, they being Patrick and Brittany Mahomes. We have a very successful, well-attended MLS franchise here in town, and the Kansas City Current, which we also own, competes for ticket dollars every summer against Sporting KC. And look at our stadium. We have the only women-only purposed stadium in America, and most games are sold out.
Yep.
However, with the NWSL, that was an easier prove because of the fire behind Sporting Kansas City. People underestimate, especially people who aren't soccer fans, the true love for Sporting KC, and that made bringing a team like KC Current to Kansas City an easier sell for investors. Whereas in the past, we haven't had, you know, obviously an NBA team since 1982 or 85.
I think it was 84, 85, yeah.
So you have to prove that there is an interest for basketball in this city, and I think they can get it done, honestly, because of our love for KU.
Well, and with Patrick's name on it, it's all but certain.
If he's in the talks, it's happening.
Somebody just wrote on Twitter, Kansas City has a vibrant sports culture.
True.
And the addition of a WNBA team would only complement our existing franchises. I tend to agree, Scott. Now, if you said to me, it's not my thing, so don't freak out when I say this, but if you said to me, we're bringing the NHL here, then I start saying, okay, do we really have enough interest in all sports to support like NHL on top of everything else? And maybe the answer is yes.
We don't have a winter sport in town. So
you think with hockey, you either are a rabid, psychotic, I will not miss it hockey fan, or you've never watched a game in your life.
Don't you think soccer is the same way?
No, I feel like there's a gray area, specifically now in Kansas City, there's a gray area with soccer where there are crossover fans that probably before never knew anything about it until they watched Ted Lasso.
I think there's a massive hockey market in this town that's tired of watching the Blues.
Maybe.
Yeah, I actually think, you know, because it's not going to be, I know this is sacrilege, it's not going to be every year that the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, and it's not going to be every year that the Chiefs make the playoffs.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. So conceivably, their season could end at some point, which is to say when Travis and Patrick leave.
Get out.
Where their season ends in December. Then the Royals don't start up until early April. So you have a 4-month window, 3.5-month window there.
Yes, we call it the boring time.
Where there's no sports other than college basketball.
Yeah, that's when we go ice skating.
Yeah. Somebody says, let me put an end to this right now. For all time. Somebody writes in, I think the WNBA stubbed their toe badly when they allowed Caitlin Clark to be treated the way that she was, and her exit has given them a black eye. Caitlin Clark, and I cannot get off the internet. It's filled with garbage. Caitlin Clark has not left the WNBA.
In fact, she was practicing with her own team yesterday when everyone was in a tizzy.
This is a rumor that started on the internet that Caitlin Clark has left the WNBA and has signed some massive tens of millions a year contract with some team in Europe. It is not true.
Yes, the Indiana Fever is looking for a new head coach to lead the team with Caitlin Clark leading it. And those stories are specifically saying with Caitlin Clark.
Somebody says nobody cares about the WNBA. Mm-hmm. They do now.
They do now.
By the way, Caitlin Clark is a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan.
That's right. Don't forget NASCAR.
Is there anything that girl can do? Did you see the other day she's taking up golf? Get out of the way.
She's an athlete. I mean, she just
capital A.
Taking up golf. She's going to be incredible.
She just has that ability. But, you know, I'll remind everyone, because if anything, and I think we're getting less of this now, but for a long time, Kansas City was, and I know this because I've lived here for all of my adult life and even part of my teenage years, Kansas City is a naysayer community, less now than it used to be. But we, for whatever reason, don't like anything new. The Sprint Center was going to fail if we didn't have an anchor tenant. That's what we heard back in the early 2000s. If you build the Sprint Center and there's no NBA or NHL team, it is going to fail. It is one of the most successful arenas in the United States. The Power and Light District was going to fail. The new KCI was going to be terrible. No one is going to watch a NASCAR race in Western Wyandotte County. No one.
I was at the most recent one. It was packed.
Of course it was. Of course it was. This is the Legends Complex. Who's going to go to Western Wyandotte County ever? Don't waste your money on a professional soccer stadium. The team was only pulling in 7,000 at Arrowhead.
I was the one that said no one was going to go out there and watch cars drive around and around in a circle.
I live near the track.
Shows you what I know.
I live near the track. You know what I do on race weekend? Stay home. Because getting anywhere around my house is a pain in the neck.
And they're gutsy after watching those guys go 180 for 4.5 hours.
So, but you know, what I'm trying to say is when I hear somebody say, this will never work in Kansas City, I think I used to be in that group. I'm not anymore. If I hear that Patrick Mahomes and his wife, Brittany, have decided that they're going to get behind the idea of a WNBA franchise in Kansas City, the first thing that I think is, if he thinks it's going to work, it's going to work.
Bingo. He ain't no dummy.
No. He's not going to throw good money after bad. And so if Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes think it's going to work, it's going to work. And everybody says, well, the NBA is never going to take off in Kansas City. How do you know? How do you know? Because right now they're averaging just under 10,000 fans a game. That's the entire lower bowl at T-Mobile and half of the upper bowl. If that was a concert, they'd say, that's pretty good attendance.
Pretty good. Pretty good night.
Yeah. We did pretty good. And they're guaranteed 20 games a season.
What does it hurt you if it comes here and is a smashing success, or if it comes here and doesn't work?
And they have to sell the franchise off to St. Louis or San Antonio.
It's still a great time to be living in a great city.
Yes. And if it doesn't work, it's not like we had to build a stadium for them.
I was going to say, if we do have to build a separate venue on taxpayer dollars and they show up and it tanks, then that is something for the
residents to be upset about. They will have enough through a private ownership group to handle this, I think.
There is no way. Wait, you're thinking public money?
No.
Never in a million years. In the ownership group? No way.
I'm talking about if they're going to say we need a venue separate from T-Mobile Center, we're going to pass a 3/8 cent sales tax.
No, there's no way. I mean, if they weren't willing, they being the voters, weren't willing to pass an extension of a tax to build a new baseball stadium and a new Arrowhead stadium on a team that just won 2 Super Bowls in a row and 3 of the last 5, they would never pass a tax, a new tax, for a women's basketball arena. It would never happen. Not when you have the T-Mobile Center.
I would go watch.
I would too.
Bring it on.
I would too.
I love basketball.
Especially when Caitlin Clark was in town. Why not use T-Mobile or the old Kemper?
I don't think the old Kemper is a good idea.
I don't either. I don't either. And nothing against what's now called Hy-Vee Arena. But you and I have been there recently. It's not really set up that way anymore. Mm. They've completely redone the interior.
Well, it's built for youth sports at this point.
Right. It's sectioned off. I just don't see it at Hy-Vee Arena. I just don't. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Welcome back. Good to be with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Storm's moving in. We will keep you updated throughout the afternoon. I had Busby on earlier this hour. He says wind is going to be the main threat. Some gusts over 60 miles per hour, maybe even up to 70. Rain, too, of course, and a slight possibility for tornadoes.
Do not be mean to the receptionist. I'm sure she's very sweet over at Fox 4. Because they happen to have Game 5 of the World Series on tonight. And if there is a tornado warning, all meteorologists, even those who work across the street from one another, who still happen to be friends, will tell you they do not have a choice. The safety of their viewers comes first.
Oh, if I'm that receptionist, I'm going home right before the game starts.
That receptionist is gone by 5.
I'm out.
I mean,
game doesn't start till 7.
Happens every dang time. Did you see, by the way, last night, and this is the last thing we'll say about the World Series, that's one of the Yankees fans right behind Freddie held up a sign, Sam, that said, "Freddie, please stop. Please stop hitting home runs."
And when he came up to bat, he dangled it over the side.
So funny.
Nice.
Randy in Fairway. Randy, hello.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I am a longtime hockey fan. I grew up in Canada. I love watching hockey games. I'm not convinced that this metro area can support an NHL hockey team. But what I would like to see is the UMKC Ruse get involved in Division 2 or 3 hockey and eventually move up to Division 1.
Huh.
I think that could be a huge hit. There's half the number of games that the NHL has, and the ticket prices are probably half the price. So I think there's a good base that could make that work.
Well, I would hope that you're right, Randy, but I wonder if you are. I mean, my neighbor plays hockey for KU, and I don't know if they're Division One or club level or what they are, but and it was very exciting, and I'm not a huge hockey fan, so please don't hate me for that. But my neighbors took us to the KU-MU game at the Independence Event Center last year. You know, you would think this is cool. KU playing MU in hockey. Border War is kind of back in a weird way. And it was maybe a third filled, maybe a third.
Right. Yeah, and that's club hockey. That's not divisional hockey.
Okay.
The closest Division One is University of Nebraska in Omaha. And and then probably in the St. Louis area, there's a Division One team. But I just look at the kids' hockey in this area, and it's not very big. And you know, the Friday night games out at the Independence Center have great crowds. Friday, Saturday night, the weeknights, nobody's there.
Okay, all right, Randy, let me stop you there, man. Do appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
It's expensive, and if you have to travel, wow.
Chris in Kansas City. Chris, hello.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say that I really want to leave Sprint Center the way it is. From a tax standpoint, you make a lot more in rent on a concert on a Friday or Saturday night. There was an article saying that basically the rent gets chopped by 2/3 for the Friday and Saturday night dates that you get reimbursed by an NBA or a NHL team over what they could get if it was a concert. So from a financial standpoint, you know, I would say leave Sprint Center as a concert venue. The women can, the WNBA can play in municipal just like the Ruse do. At least start it there. And if for some reason it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If it works out and the crowds are great, you know,
then great.
I don't think that's a terrible idea. We looked it up the other day. I think municipal holds 8,000 people, which was a lot more than I thought. I would only write in an exemption that if we were to get a WNBA team, they go over to T-Mobile when Caitlin Clark is in town.
By the way, it's just over 10,000. It was just big enough to hold the average.
I beg your pardon. Thank you, Sam.
Radar update for our friends to the west and northwest. Man, Manhattan all the way north and east to Maryville, Auburn, Falls City. They are getting pounded right now. There's a little bit of a break over St. Joe, but that is not the end of this. We'll talk more about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.